Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Ksubos, Daf Pei Zayin, the ninth perek of Kosevel Ishto. This is going to be an abbreviated shiur. The Zichru Masechet Ksubos program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachzachas Torah. So the three we're going to focus on, number one, the Mishnah on the bottom, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, stated, Kasevla, neder ushvua einu alayich, if a husband wrote a shtar to his wife stating, I have neither a vow or an oath upon you, in Yachul Ashbiya Ava Mashbiya, who has Yorsheah, as a Baimir Shusa. He may not impose an oath upon her, but he may impose an oath upon her heirs or her successors, which Rashi explains refers to those who have purchased her ksuba before she got divorced or died. The Gemara asks, which oath does a husband's waiver exempt her from? Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Al Patrapia Shanasis Bechai Bala. It applies to the oath over an administrative position that she takes during her husband's lifetime. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Re'avu, Al Pogemus Ksubasa, the waiver applies even to the oath where she impairs her ksuba. This refers to a case where a woman coming to collect her ksuba admits that she collected part of her ksuba and her husband claims he paid her all of it. Typically, she would be required to take an oath that she's not been paid the remainder. But Mordechai said to Ravashi that it makes sense that the oath applies to a case where she impairs the ksuba, for it enters the wife's mind at the time of marriage that she may need some money and need to collect part of her ksuba, so she tells her husband to write that he'll not require an oath when she wants the remainder. But according to Rav Yehuda, did the wife know she'll eventually be appointed an atropia? Rav Ashi successfully explains what Rav Yehuda's rationale was. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, if a woman impairs her ksuba by admitting that part of it was already paid, she may only collect the remainder with an oath that has not been paid in full. Rami Bar Chama thought to say that this is a derisa shvua, modu b'mixas, but Rabba brought two rebuttals. Firstly, the kol nishmain shibator nishmain v'lo mishalmi. There's a rule that all those that swear under the derisa law swear and do not pay, but here she's swearing and taking payment. Secondly, mid derisa ein nishmain al kfiras shibut karkos. One does not swear concerning the denial of a lien on land, and in our case, a woman holds a lien on her husband's land through her ksuba. Rather, Rabba explained the oath was enacted as a derabban because the par daik, the mifla daik, the one who pays a debt, is attentive to the details of his payment, whereas the one being paid is not as attentive. The rabban therefore imposed an oath upon the woman in order that when she's paid, she should be attentive. Knowing that she'll have to swear when she comes to collect the remainder, she'll pay attention at the time of the initial payment. And point number three, the Mishnah says that if one aid testifies against her that the ksuba was paid, she may only collect with a shvua that it was not paid. Rami Bar Chama thought to say that this is a derisa oath for the pasuk states, a single aid shall not stand up against a man for any punishment or for any penalty. This implies aval kamhu l'shvua, that a single aid may, however, stand up for the purpose of making someone take an oath. And it was taught in a braisa, in any situation where two aidim cause a defendant to pay money, one aid obligates him to take an oath. After Rava provides the same two-part rebuttal as above, he explains that this is a derabbanan shvua kidei lahapis daito shabal, in order to put the husband's mind at ease, since his claim is supported by a single aid, whose aid is requires one to take an oath in other cases, the rabban ordered her to swear before collecting. So once again, the 3 points are number one, the Mishnah on the bottom, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, stated, Kasevla, neder shvua einu alayich, if a husband wrote a shtar to his wife saying, I have neither a vow or an oath upon you, in Yachul Ashbiya Ava Mashbiya, who has Yorsheah, as a Baimir Shusa. He may not impose an oath upon her, but he may impose an oath upon her heirs and her successors, which Rashi explains refers to those who purchased her ksuba before she got divorced or died. The Gemara asks, which oath does a husband's waiver exempt her from? Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Al Patrapia Shanasis Bechai Bala. It applies to the oath over an administrative position that she takes during her husband's lifetime. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Re'avu, Al Pogemus Ksubasa, the waiver applies even to the oath where she impairs her ksuba. This refers to a case where a woman coming to collect her ksuba admits that she collected part of her ksuba and her husband claims he paid her all of it. Typically, she would be required to take an oath that she's not been paid the remainder. But Mordechai said to Ravashi that it makes sense that the oath applies to a case where she impairs the ksuba, for it enters the wife's mind at the time of marriage that she may need some money and need to collect part of her ksuba, so she tells her husband to write that he'll not require an oath when she wants the remainder. But according to Rav Yehuda, did the wife know she'll eventually be appointed an atropia? Rav Ashi successfully explains what Rav Yehuda's rationale was. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, if a woman impairs her ksuba by admitting that part of it was already paid, she may only collect the remainder with an oath that has not been paid in full. Rami Bar Chama thought to say that this is a derisa shvua, modu b'mixas, but Rabba brought two rebuttals. Firstly, the kol nishmain shibator nishmain v'lo mishalmi. There's a rule that all those that swear under the derisa law swear and do not pay, but here she's swearing and taking payment. Secondly, midiraisa, einish mine al kfir shibut karkos. One does not swear concerning the denial of a lien on land. And in our case, a woman holds a lien on her husband's land through her ksuba. Rather, Rava explained the oath was enacted as a derabban because the par daik, the mifrul daik, the one who pays a debt, is attentive to the details of his payment, whereas the one being paid is not as attentive. The Rabban therefore imposed an oath upon the woman in order that when she's paid, she should be attentive. Knowing that she'll have to swear when she comes to collect the remainder, she'll pay attention at the time of the initial payment. And point number three, the Mishnah says that if one aid testifies against her that the ksuba was paid, she may only collect with a shvua that it was not paid. Rami Bar Chanan thought to say that this is a derisa oath, for the pasuk states, a single aid shall not stand up against a man for any punishment or for any penalty. This implies aval kamhu l'shvua, that a single aid may, however, stand up for the purpose of making someone take an oath. And it was taught in a braisa, kol makom sheshnai mechayvin osam mamon, echad mechayv shvua. In any situation where two aidim cause a defendant to pay money, one aid obligates him to take an oath. After Rava provides the same two-part rebuttal as above, he explains that this is a derabbanan shvua kidei l'hapis daito shabal, in order to put the husband's mind at ease, since his claim is supported by a single aid, whose aid is requires one to take an oath in other cases, the Rabban ordered her to swear before collecting. All right, so now we go to Simmer Da Pei Zayin, and this simmer was suggested to us by Binyamin Michel from Boca Ratana and by Eli Behar from Ramat Beit Shemesh. They both suggest that Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser, So here goes. When the CEO of the Golden Pez Candy Company got engaged for the third time, his new bride insisted that he write a shtar that he has no vow or oath upon her, because he made his second wife make a derabbanan shvua that she only collected half of her Pez candies due on her ksuba, and made his first wife make a derabbanan shvua when he brought a single witness to testify that her ksuba was paid. Once again, slow motion. When the CEO of the Golden Pez Candy Company, that must be on Daf Pei Zayin. When the CEO of the Golden Pez Candy Company got engaged for the third time, his new bride insisted that he write a shtar that he has no vow or oath upon her. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Pei Vav Amud Av stated, Kasava Neder Ushvua Einli Alaych, if a husband wrote a shtar to his wife stating, I have neither a vow or oath upon you, he may not impose an oath upon her, but he may impose an oath upon her heirs and her successors, which Rashi explains refers to those who purchased a ksuba before she got divorced or died. The Gemara asks, which oath does the husband's waiver exempt her from? If you'd have said in the name of Rav, Alpatrapia Shanasa Bechai Bala, it applies to the oath over an administrative position that she takes during her husband's lifetime. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Bar Avo, Alpogemus Ksuba Sa, the waiver applies even to the oath where she impairs her ksuba. So when the CEO of the Golden Pez Company got engaged for the third time, his new bride insisted that he write a shtar that he has no vow or oath upon her, because he made his second wife make a derabbanan shvua that she only collected half of her Pez candies do on her ksuba, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hapogemus ksuba sa lo tiparai al b'shvua. If a woman impairs her ksuba by admitting that part of it was already paid, she may only collect the remainder with an oath that it has not been paid in full. Rami Bar Chama thought to say that this is a deraisa shvua of moda b'mikzvahs, but Rav explained the oath was enacted as the rabban because the par daik, the mifrul daik, the one who pays a debt, is attentive to the details of his payment, whereas the one being paid is not as attentive. The rabban therefore imposed an oath upon the woman in order that when she paid, she should be attentive. Knowing that she'll have to swear when she comes to collect the remainder, she'll pay attention at the time of the initial payment. So when the CEO of the Golden Pez Company got engaged for the third time, his new bride insisted that he write a shtar that he has no vow or oath upon her, because he made his second wife make a derabbanan shvua that she only collected half of her Pez candies due on her ksuba, and made his first wife make a derabbanan shvua when he brought a single witness to testify that her ksuba was paid. Which reminds us, the Mishnah says that if one aid testifies against her that the ksuba was paid, she may only collect with the shvua that it was not paid. Rav explains that this is a derabbanan shvua kidei l'hapis daito shabal, in order to put the husband's mind at ease, since his claim is supported by a single aid whose testimony requires one to take an oath in other cases, the rabban ordered to swear before collecting. So once again, when the CEO of the Golden Pez Company got engaged for the third time, his new bride insisted that he write a shtar that he has no vow or oath upon her, because he made his second wife make a derabbanan shvua that she only collected half of her Pez candies due on her ksuba, and made his first wife make a derabbanan shvua when he brought a single witness to testify that her ksuba was paid. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.